Sisters and brothers, grace and peace are yours this day from God, our Creator, from Jesus, our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who breathes life into us and among us. Amen. Well, it is graduation weekend or graduation season, at least, for many of our partners and our neighbors. It's time then, once again, for the caps, the cakes, and the sometimes cliche-filled commencement speeches. Time for be the change you wish to see in the world, for don't be afraid to fail. Time for keep on learning and keep on growing and keep on trying and all manner of keeping on. There's wisdom in cliches, of course, or people would not say them in such important moments as graduation speeches. But so often the cliches don't take flesh and blood and we don't know what it looks like to fulfill them. Or we hear the words so often they become meaningless. The words remain words, immortalized only if they are lucky enough to wind up as post-graduation word art. In our passage today from John's Gospel, it is also graduation weekend for the disciples of Jesus. Jesus will soon be arrested and then crucified. And today we hear a snapshot of his parting words for his friends. His commencement address, if you will. Here toward the end of the Gospel of John chapter 13, we jump right into the precursor of Jesus's farewell discourse, which is what scholars most often refer to as chapters 14 through 17 of John's Gospel, and we're right before that. Well, like a good commencement speaker, Jesus weaves together disparate parts of the group's time together to make meaning of what has passed. He ties together what they've learned and experienced together. He gives words of comfort for the uncertain future the disciples will face, like any graduate embarking on a new season of life. He's got all the trappings of a graduation speech, minus maybe the inside jokes from freshman year homecoming and confessions of secret capers of that junior year class field trip. Even at first blush, Jesus's speech includes a good old commencement cliche, something worthy of post-graduation word art, in the form of his so-called new commandment. And it's this: love one another. It's catchy, it's brief, it's memorable, makes for good word art, meets all the criteria of a commencement speech cliche. But in this case, our graduation speaker's catchy phrase does take on flesh and blood. We, the hearers of this address, do get to see what it looks like to live out these words. Set in the context of John's Gospel and the whole story of Jesus' life and ministry, the words love one another take a particularly stark shift from the fancy cursive and etched red hearts we see in the word art before us. In John's Gospel, Jesus gives this new commandment, love one another just as I have loved you, almost immediately after he has washed the feet of his disciples. Earlier in John chapter 13, the Gospel writer says Jesus had gotten down on his hands and knees and performed the task of a servant, a teacher, caressing the calloused feet of his students. A particularly dirty task for a bunch of sandal-clad guys in the first century who have certainly never darkened the door of a pedicure salon. And then I imagine, while still drying off from the foot washing, one of Jesus' closest companions, a man named Judas, departs the gathering to betray him. Judas, whose feet are still wet from his master's washing. Judas, who would soon hand Jesus over to the authorities. Judas, whom Jesus loved and washed, even as he knew he would betray him. Love one another, Jesus says to the remaining 11 after Judas leaves. Just as I have loved you, you also should have love for one another. Immediately then, following this statement after our reading, Jesus tells Peter, one of those 11, that he, Peter, will soon deny him. Three times, in fact, he will deny him. Peter, whom Jesus loved and washed, even as he knew he would deny him. Love one another just as I have loved you, Jesus says. You also should have love for one another. So as students of the Old Testament also, we might wonder what's so new about this commandment to love one another. It sounds strikingly like a verse out of the book of Leviticus. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. What's new in John's gospel is the phrase, just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you, Jesus says, as I have loved you, you also should love one another. This love has taken on flesh and blood, just as I have loved you, he says. Already at this point in the story, we have seen this love in action. This love has gotten down on his hands and knees to wash the feet of his friends. This love has washed the feet even of the one who would soon betray him. As the gospel writer says, just before the foot washing account, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And he will love them to the end with a wash basin, with forgiveness, with healing, with a calling and invitation and a new way of living and loving in the world. This love ultimately takes on flesh and blood on the cross, where Jesus shows the depth of his love for his friends and for all of us. But his love does not stop there either, at the cross. In 3 days, he rises again, making a beginning out of the end. He loves them. He loves us to the end and to the beginning he makes out of the end. He sends the Spirit then to create the church, to be the community of his love in the world. And his church's fundamental call comes back in our graduation speech for today. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, Jesus says, if you have love for one another. So those who follow Jesus, that is us, the church, will be defined by love, Jesus says. Jesus does not say, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you correctly identify who is and is not worthy of my love. Jesus does not say, by this everyone will know if you follow me, if you land on the morally righteous side of hot button issues. He doesn't say, by this everyone will know if you don't stain yourself by eating and laughing with people on the margins. He doesn't say, by this everyone will know if your life is perfect and conflict-free. He doesn't say, by this everyone will know if you stand firm on your moral principles over and against offering hospitality and grace. Those sound like graduation speeches from other sources, not from Jesus. They don't sound like the Jesus we meet in John, the Jesus who washes the feet of his disciples, even those who would hasten his arrest and his public murder. It doesn't sound like the Jesus who is the Word of God, who became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth, or the Jesus who is the incarnate love of God, who tells us to love one another. The Jesus whose church wrestles with the question of exclusion in the book of Acts, which we heard today, and whose church lands on the side of inclusion. It's good news that Jesus is our graduation speaker today. In a world desperately in need of love and grace, it's good news that Jesus defines and redefines the call of the church in the world as those people who love one another and the world. In the face of other conflicting messages about the church's call, this is good news. But it's also hard news. It's hard news that we're defined by love, because love for Jesus is not about word art and swirly red hearts. For Jesus, love takes on flesh and blood and goes to the depths. Love shines light in the darkness, as John's gospel writer says, and darkness cannot overcome it, which means that love goes into the darkness. It goes past the swirly red hearts and the political divisions and the fear of our neighbors. The love of Jesus looks like our ministry partners serving breakfast at the banquet this past Friday morning. And in the face of racial and socioeconomic disparities in our own community, sits down to share some laughs and some coffee. The love of Jesus looks like buying gift cards for the staff of Bridges at Horace Mann Elementary School who serve some of the most vulnerable children in our community. The love of Jesus looks like worshiping with the men of St. Dismas Lutheran Church behind the walls of the state penitentiary. The love of Jesus looks like welcoming refugees to Sioux Falls when often the public witness would tell us to do quite otherwise. The love of Jesus looks like singing that all are welcome in this place. The love of Jesus looks like sitting with children in their unpredictable questions about faith and God and life. It looks like getting up at 1 a.m. with a hungry child and then again at 3 and at 4:30. The love of Jesus looks like tending to your aging parents. It looks like bringing a meal to a friend who's sitting in the darkness of grief or depression. It looks like wrapping a quilt around your child before she or he leaves home. The love of Jesus comes first and always from Jesus and is grounded always and only in the love he is and he gives. The love of Jesus takes on flesh and blood. It goes beyond swirly hearts and shines light into the darkness. The love of Jesus is for you today. Today, once again, this love takes on flesh and blood in bread and wine, the meal of grace and forgiveness. This love is not withheld for any reason, not any failure to love, not any darkness from your past, not any fear of the future. This love goes with you as you graduate, as you thrive, and as you fail. This love is for you as you are, and for the whole world. Thanks be to God. Amen.